Welcome to the Vermilion Sports Show here on KRVS 88.7 FM. I am your host, Louis Prejean, also the sports editor for the Vermilion, the student newspaper of UL. I am in the studio with sports writer slash news writer, Aaron Gonsolin.
Hello.
How's it feel to do news now?
It's great. I love it.
Yep. He is dual threat.
I'm
right
a dual
here.
Threat quarterback,
sports
baby.
Sports and news, Aaron Gonsolin. And making his return, not to the show, but in the booth, in the studio, is sports writer Charles Long.
I'm back.
Charles.
Yeah.
Did you miss us?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. That's typically what I get is you're okay.
Yeah.
In case this is your first time listening, this is the Vermilion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7, where we talk about Raging Cajuns athletics and local teams like the New Orleans Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans and the New Orleans Saints.
Woo.
A little bit more positive than the Pelicans. This is our sixth week doing the sports show, and it gets better every time, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think it gets better every single time. So make sure you tune in every Thursday, technically Friday at midnight. We have a lot to talk about in this show, so let's get started. Let us begin where we're going to talk about the Cajuns men's and women's basketball teams. Mm-hmm. They started conference play in late December, but they started on the road. The women's basketball team, they finally played a home Sun Belt game, a couple actually, and they started off their home conference play with a 61-45 win last Thursday against Appalachian State. The Cajuns ran away with this game against App State in the fourth quarter, where they outscored 20-2. They outscored the team 20-2.
That's outstanding.
That's crazy.
The Cajuns women's basketball team outscored Appalachian State 20-2 in the fourth quarter. Louisiana held App State to two. It's insane to think a team only scored 2 points in a quarter.
Talk about coming up clutch.
Like, how? You have to try not to score 2 points.
That's
defensive
what I'm saying.
Intensity.
Guard Troy Swain had herself a game with 22 points and shot 6 of 11 from 3. 11
nice.
Attempts for an individual.
It's like Steph Curry.
It is. Like, and it's, I need to go look at their past games. That's probably more attempts than they've had as a team in an entire game.
Yeah.
In multiple games this season. So Troy Swain put up 11 3-pointers, made 6 of them for her 22 points. The women's basketball team shot 14 of 26 from 3.
When you know you're knocking them down, you're going to take them.
Yeah. I'm letting them fly.
Yeah.
Let them fly.
Their 14 threes were one off of tying a school record for most threes made in a single game. Aaron, what is your reaction to all these threes made by the Cajuns women's basketball team against Appalachian State?
I mean, like everybody else, I'm at a loss for words. I mean, because when you think about the women's Cajun team, you don't think as a three-point shooting juggernaut. And for them to hit, 14 threes.
Yeah.
It's really hard to even read on the page, but it's impressive.
I thought I would never see this stat line come from the Cajuns women's basketball team, but they did that, and they do have some shooters on there. Charlie, what do you make of these threes?
As Aaron was saying, a lot of the time when you look at their scoreboards, there's almost less than 11 attempts per game for the whole team, as you were saying. I think they had one where they had 9 attempts, but as we've been saying, they were knocking them down, so they just kept shooting. 26 attempts, that's a bunch.
It is a lot, and if you're hot, if you're feeling it, why not shoot them?
Why not let it fly?
Right. Let it fly. I love that term. Appalachian State, they turned the ball over 22 times in this game. That led to 23 points off of the turnovers for the Cajuns team. Only 2 fast break points and 6 points in the paint for the Cajuns women's team, but they got it done. As for their second conference home game and the fourth one in the season for the Louisiana women's basketball team, they played Coastal Carolina and won a close one, 59-55. The Cajuns went into the fourth quarter with an 11-point lead, so being outscored by 16-9 in the fourth quarter did not matter. Head coach Gary Broadhead earned his 100th career win.
Congratulations.
With this one against Coastal Carolina. Congratulations to Coach Broadhead.
Yes.
He's had nothing but success since he's joined the Cajuns women's team. Great job there. Against Coastal Carolina, the Cajuns forced 24 turnovers again.
Nice.
They just keep doing that's consecutive, back-to-back doing that. That's impressive.
Yeah.
They did that against Appalachian State. They only have 15 points off of the 24 turnovers against Coastal Carolina. The Cajuns women's team had 15 turnovers, only led to 8 points for Coastal Carolina. That's good transition defense.
Yes, yes.
That's running back. That's effort.
Getting back on defense, yeah.
Getting back on defense. Yeah. A lost art.
Yeah.
A lost art in basketball. Or an art you would like to see more.
Yeah.
The Cajuns only hit 4 threes in this game on 10 attempts. I guess they weren't feeling it as much as Appalachian State. I guess not. Only 10 attempts. But they did have more points in the paint with 26. They only had 6 points in the paint against Appalachian State. Guard Skylar Goodwin led the women's team in scoring with 17 points on 6 of 9 shooting from the field. What do we call that? Efficiency.
Efficient.
Efficient. The Cajuns are now on a 3-game winning streak. Charlie, are they turning it around?
Absolutely. They're second place. They're tied for second place in the Sun Belt right now.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really funny because their first game against Little Rock, who was a 3-8 team, we're all just, you know, writing it off as a win. But Little Rock's on a 4-0 stretch to start conference play, so they're at the top of the conference. So our only loss is to the number one team. But yeah, I like where they're going right now. I think the win against Arkansas State was really solid, where we won by 2 on the road. But the defense on the at home has been outstanding. As you're saying, 24 turnovers against Coastal Carolina, that 20-2 run in the fourth quarter to take the game against App State. I really like where this team is going.
Yeah.
Definitely their defense seems to be more stout at home as opposed to on the road. In the last 3 games, senior leader and forward Simone Fields has only averaged 7.6 points per game, 2.3 rebounds in 20 minutes. Did not really play against Coastal Carolina due to foul trouble. Aaron, what are your thoughts on the Cajuns winning despite the reduced production from Fields?
I'm impressed. I mean, everyone's stepping up. Swain had a game, an impressive game last against App State, 22 points. I mean, it's just, I mean, when your number's called, you just got to step up. So
it's nice to have a team where you don't heavily rely on one player because of all the talent and all the system that you've established. It's nice to not heavily lean on Simone Fields, even though we all know she's a very talented player, and the defense probably focuses more in on her as she gets double teamed in the post.
Yeah.
And she kicks it out to shooters and a driving player. So it's good to not heavily rely on someone in that you can always produce, even when Fields is not. The Louisiana women's basketball team stays at home when they play ULM on Saturday at 4 p.m. The ULM women's basketball team is 4-11 on the season. And have they won an away game this season?
That would be a no, Lewis.
That would be a no. They are 0-8 away from home, the UL women's basketball team. Do the Cajuns win against ULM, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, ULM doesn't have one road win, so I'm going to say yeah.
But, Charlie, is there a first time for everything?
Well, we were saying that Little Rock, who was 3-8, we would just go into their house and roll over them. But, yeah, there definitely is a chance that we lose this game. But I think with a 3-game winning streak, I think we start getting the ball rolling. Start going on a winning streak to start the conference play.
And you talked about their defense being so good at home, another home game. Where do you see ULM scoring in this game, or the Cajuns holding ULM?
I could see ULM scoring anywhere from 50 to 58, somewhere around that range, I think.
Okay. I'm going to set the over-under for the UL women's basketball team at 60. Aaron, do they score under 60?
Under, because the Cajuns at home are really good defensively, especially, so...
Keep it under?
Yeah.
And the Cajuns win?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. The Cajun women's basketball team sealed the deal against ULM already. You have to play the game. Yeah. You never know. Against Little Rock, we all thought. But you have to play the games. It's great that they have a home game. So now let's go to the Louisiana men's basketball team. And they just keep going. They just keep rolling.
Keep winning.
Keep on.
They are now on another winning streak after it was snapped by Clemson. Right now, it is at 4 as they improve to 14-3 for the season, 4-0 in Sun Belt play after their latest 2 wins against Appalachian State and Coastal Carolina. First, let's talk about the men's basketball game against App State, where they won 78-45. How big of a win is that, Aaron?
Big.
Do some quick math. How
33? Give me a few minutes to get
33.
Charlie is correct.
He has his phone out.
He was not using the calculator. He was not.
I'm an English major, not a math major.
Okay, 78-45 behind a strong first half where the Cajuns men's basketball team outscored App State 46-17. We talked about the Cajuns women's basketball team holding App State to 2 points in the fourth quarter. The men's basketball team held App State to 17 in the first half.
That's That's impressive.
That is impressive. Yeah. Senior guard Frank Bartley led the Cajuns in scoring with 16 points on 5 threes. Forward Bryce Washington had another double-double with 15 points and 10 rebounds. The bench for Louisiana scored 25 points. App State turned the ball over 17 times in this game. The Cajuns definitely took advantage of that.
Yeah.
As the Cajuns scored 31 points off of those turnovers. The defense was really the story in this game. Against App State, App State only shot 19 of 55 from the field.
Yeah.
And an atrocious 3 of 19.
3 of 19.
From 3. 3 of 19 from 3.
You can build a house with all them bricks.
You can definitely build yep. a house. It is interesting because the Appalachian State men's basketball team, they average 79.6 points per game this season, and they are 8-9, and the Cajuns men's basketball team held them to 45 in this game. What do you make of the defense, Charlie?
It's outstanding. App State's actually 3-1 in conference play right now, and we're their only loss, so that's nice to get an early win against a good opponent. This team is a strange team, though. They put up points against anyone. They had a game, I think, against Iowa State this year where they put up, I think, 94, and wow. they still lost. They're a strange team for sure. But to hold them to 17 points in the first half, this stout defense
yeah.
all around.
Yeah.
Then on the other side, to score 46, and all this without their star player, Jakina Gant, who's a stud on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. They just played a great game, a great all-around game against App State.
They did play an all-around game. Great defense, 45. Appalachian State, they had two games this season where they scored 126 and 135?
126. I don't think they scored 135, but they've scored close to 100 at least like four times this season.
Okay, yeah, I mean, they can definitely put up points, but yeah. the Cajuns definitely held them to yeah. only 45 points. Now let's talk about the Louisiana men's basketball win over Coastal Carolina, 81-64. Another great differential in that game. Again, another strong first half by the Cajuns men's basketball team. They went into halftime with a 43-29 advantage. Bartley once again led the Cajuns in scoring with 22 points. Malik Marchetti getting it together, 17 points in that game. Jonathan Stove off the bench had 16 points. Stove, he scored all the Cajuns bench points in this game. He was the second unit.
If
in that game.
There was a six man, he would probably win it.
Yeah, definitely for that game.
Yeah.
Jonathan Stove, all of the Cajuns bench points against Coastal Carolina with 16. The Cajuns had 16 assists on 21 field goals made. That's sharing the ball.
Yeah.
Louisiana beat Coastal Carolina 18-9 in second chance points, which is interesting because the Cajuns men's team only had two more offensive rebounds, definitely taking advantage.
Yeah, which is weird because, you know, the Cajuns are just one of the best rebounding teams in the Sun Belt. So.
Yeah, and for total rebounds in this game, the Cajuns beat Coastal Carolina on the boards 38-28.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big number, but, you know.
Yeah, let's get to the importance behind these two games, right?
Yeah.
Now, junior forward for Louisiana, Jakina Gant, did not play due to a hand injury, as head coach Bob Marlin has called it. Marlin said, we will know more about his availability later this week. So far, I've heard nothing on yeah. his injury. Gant is averaging 15.9 points per game, but the Cajuns, they're still winning. They still won those two games pretty handedly
yeah.
and convincingly without Jakina Gant. Charlie, how impressive is it they're winning despite Gant being out?
Extremely impressive. As I was saying, Gant's probably one of their best players on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. But I really like what I'm seeing from the team. I think that in any game that they have about six different players that can go off for anywhere from 15 to 20 points. So that's really, really impressive. It's great teamwork all around. We have great guard play with Stroman and Bartley, and they're really showing up recently with us missing a big man in the front court with Gant. Bryce Washington is Mr. Double-Double, as we like to call him.
Yep.
Always gets at least 10 points and 10 rebounds. It's just an all-around team effort, especially when you have your star player out.
Definitely the guards have been stepping up.
For sure.
Even when there is a game where you see Bryce Washington, Jakina Gant really lead the team,
yeah.
but on nights where they're not leading the team, it's Stroman and Bartley right yeah. there to pick it right
and
back up.
And then Marchetti the other night against Coastal Carolina also showed that he can put up anywhere from 15 to 20.
Don't forget about Marchetti.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't forget about Marchetti. What is, I mean, Do you echo all of Charlie's sentiments?
Pretty much he said, like, I mean, like, last game versus Coastal Carolina, at least three people scored at least 15 points. I mean, it just shows that we're so talented and we're so deep. So, I mean,
definitely,
like,
deep.
Just like the women's team, like, when one of your best players goes down, there's other people who are going to step up, like Bartley, Marchetti, and Stowe. So it just shows how deep we are and how talented. So it's very, very impressive.
Both of the team's main leaders, you know, Gant is out with injury, and Fields, I don't know what is going on exactly, but she's not producing as we know what she can do. So it's they're still picking up
where
they need to. So Frank Bartley, he's led the Cajuns in scoring in three straight games. He's averaging 15.9 points per game. He's shooting 43% from the field, 36% from three. He shoots about three free throws a game. Aaron, what are your thoughts on Bartley stepping up and his ability to lead the Cajuns team?
I mean, like we were saying, I mean, it's very impressive. I mean, to average 15 these last three games, two assists, he's picking up the scoring load, which is nice.
He definitely recognizes when he's needed.
Yeah.
And he will put the shots up that are needed, and he will make
them. I mean, shooting 43 from the field, 36 from three, it just showed that he's not, like, just chucking them up. He's making smart decisions with the ball, too.
I think 43% could be a little higher. I think for a guard, he's a shooting guard.
He's not much of an attacking guard.
Yeah.
He's more of a catch and shoot. Mm-hmm. But he's a senior leader on the team.
Yeah.
And definitely, as Aaron was saying, picking up the slack with Gant going down for a couple games. So it's definitely good to see.
What are the keys to winning games without Gant, you think, Charlie?
Just team effort. If everyone contributes, to the win, then I think we'll be pretty much unstoppable in the Sun Belt. As far as I've seen, I don't really think there's any teams that's going to be able to catch us this year in the Sun Belt.
Right.
So, you know.
The Cajuns men's basketball team will play another conference game, ULM, on Saturday. The ULM men's basketball team is 7-8 on the season. And have they won an away game?
No.
That would be a no, Lewis.
0-6.
They are 0-6. The ULM men's basketball team is 0-6 away. Louisiana will play at home. Again, there's a first time for everything. But is it? On Saturday,
Not this time, no.
No?
No.
What do you have? I want a score prediction.
Oh, you're going
to
let me?
Just so it can come back to haunt you.
All right, so I'm going to go Cajuns 79, ULM 60.
79-60. Cajuns men's basketball takes it over ULM. Charlie, what do you have?
Score prediction?
Yes.
I got the Cajuns. I'll say 74 to 74. I'll say this kind of close. I'll go 74-63.
74-63. Okay. I have it about a 10-12 point game.
Yeah.
Cajuns win. I like this team a lot.
Yeah.
The Cajuns men's basketball team.
All they do is win.
And the College Insider mid-major basketball rankings, where are they ranked?
They're ranked number 4 right now.
Number 4.
In the nation.
They took a big leap. We'll see where they're at Monday after this ULM game. Definitely going to be interesting to see where they fall right there. Now, let's go to Cajuns football, because Cajuns football does not stop.
Never.
New Louisiana head football coach Billy Napier has been busy building his staff since he has been hired, and there have been more hires over the past week. Hannibal Pearson and Tiger Jones, which is a great name.
It's awesome.
For a person, a human being, Tiger Jones, will join the football staff as assistant strength and conditioning coaches. Rory Seadress joins the football staff as the assistant head coach and defensive line coach. The latest hire is Ryan Tritchell as the director of player personnel. Rory has NFL experience with the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2009 to 2010, where he coached the defensive line over there. So NFL experience, back to the college.
Yeah, showing he can show kids who most of these kids are dreaming to play in the NFL. So he can show them like what do you have to do to achieve that dream. So it's really nice.
Former Raging Cajun track star Hollis Conway has returned to Louisiana as the athletic department's new assistant director for diversity, leadership, and education. That's what the university announced. So great to see.
Yes,
staying in house.
Some positive hires. Now let's go to the Louisiana track and field teams. They competed over the weekend at the Purple Tiger Invitational in Baton Rouge. It was a record night for the Cajuns track and field teams as Tissay Woodhouse set a school record in women's indoor weight throw with a throw of 60 feet 10 inches, beating the previous record by 3 feet. I don't know how much weight she is throwing.
We did some research on it. We still don't really know for sure. I think it's about 10 pounds, but still, that's outstanding. That's ridiculous.
60 feet, man. That's
we
did some intensive research about how much weight the track and field teams were throwing in the weight throw, and we came out to about 10 pounds.
Yeah. I think it's 4 kilograms.
4 kilograms?
For like a shot put.
Well, I think it came out to like 8.8 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, something like that.
Like 9 pounds or something.
But throwing to – Aaron, can you throw 10 pounds 60 feet?
No.
Definitely. Can't even throw 10 pounds back on the rack?
No, man. It's like my arm would probably fall off.
60 feet, 10 inches.
It's far, man.
Let's just round up 61 feet.
Yeah.
I guess you can't do that in sports. But shining on the Cajuns men's track and field team was Stanley Lemieux, Jacob Chicola, and Sven Gluek as they each – had first place performances. The Cajuns track and field teams compete again on January 12th when they go to Texas A&M to hopefully continue their indoor success at the Ted Nelson Invitational. There's other Cajun sports guys. Sports never stops. The men's tennis team begin their spring break. I always say that because I'm just thinking about it
already,
right now.
Man.
Already the first week of school.
The first week is over.
I just can't read an outline apparently. The men's tennis team begin their spring semester stretch at the Florida State Invitational this weekend with their first match against number 21 Florida State on Saturday at 10:30 a.m.
Tough start to the season.
Tough start. You never want to play a nationally ranked opponent opening the season, but that's just how it falls.
Yeah.
That's just how it falls. Now let's go to former Cajuns in the pros, where we give you a little update on what is happening with former Cajuns that are now in the pros. Pretty self-explanatory right there. As we know, former Cajuns running back and sixth round pick for the New York Jets, Elijah McGuire, he finished his rookie season. So, I'm sure in the offseason he's just going to continue to add to his game. Had help from Matt Forte and Bilal Powell this season. So,
yeah.
Elijah McGuire, I would say overall a successful rookie season.
Absolutely.
He represented the Cajuns well. So
definitely. Now, let's talk about former Cajuns Alfred Payton.
Yeah.
He is now the starting point guard for the Orlando Magic. It's a tough scene. Every time I see the Orlando Magic's name, I'm just thinking like,
how hot they started at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, they were like the 4 seed earlier in the season.
They beat the Pelicans one of the first games. And now,
They were definitely off to a great start. There you go, Aaron. Magic's gone. For the season, Alfred Payton, he is averaging 12.7 points, 4 rebounds, and 6.5 assists per game. He shoots 51% from the field. See, that's what I'm saying about guard shooting.
Yeah.
It's nice to have him around 50%.
Definitely.
Especially because Payton's more of a slasher. So.
Yeah, Payton drives to the rim a lot, so that's...
Hopefully the hair doesn't get in the way.
Let's get to more numbers. Alfred Payton was born on February 22nd. Okay, I just threw it in because Alfred Payton was born on February 22nd, which is 6 days later than my birthday. I'm just saying, we're pretty close. I mean, I'm not saying I'm as good as Alfred Payton, but he was born close to the same time. So he was born on February 22nd. I just saw it in his bio when I was researching the stats. So February 22nd, make sure you wish him a happy birthday. Mark it on your calendar.
I will.
But don't forget to wish me a happy birthday.
Me too.
The Magic.
My birthday's in February too, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess I'm just bragging about it. The Magic, they are on a 6-game losing streak, and they are 12-30 for the season. I believe they're 14th.
Yeah,
in the
14th
Eastern Conference.
I mean, that's probably going to change to 15th soon.
Alfred Payton,
I don't know. The Hawks are pretty bad.
True.
Yeah, the Hawks are below them at 15th in the Eastern Conference.
They have 10 wins, I saw.
Yeah.
So.
I just want to ask this question while I'm thinking about it. We're midway through the season. We're midway through the NBA season.
Yeah.
Did the Magic finish last in the Eastern Conference?
That's going to be tough. I mean,
no.
Atlanta is just. Charlie's right. Atlanta's that bad. So.
Atlanta's really bad.
Okay. Now, Alfred Payton is a free agent this summer. Do you think he'll try to entertain other offers from teams, or you think he would be interested in other offers from teams?
Well, it's tough because he's still on his rookie deal. So
he's a restricted free agent.
He's going to be a restricted free agent, so he doesn't really have total control. So, I mean, it'd be nice for him to entertain offers, but, I mean, he doesn't really have much say in the matter because the Magic can always match whatever deal he signs.
Right.
So,
now I want to ask this. Which team would Alfred Payton fit well on, Charlie?
I think he could go to another team in Florida and go to Miami.
Miami.
Okay.
Goran Dragic's getting up there. I think they could use a young point guard, someone up and coming. And the rest of their pieces are pretty much there. They got a really solid big man with Whiteside. They got a good young big man with Adebayo who they just drafted.
Bam. His first name is Bam. It's the coolest first name.
I think that's a nickname, though. I'm not
sure.
But
still, it's so cool.
Yeah. And then they got, like, a bunch of pieces on the bench and just good all-around players.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a nice team.
You would like to see him stay in that state of Florida with Miami?
Hey, it's a nice area.
Aaron, if he wants to... of any other teams?
Yeah, well, okay, so Peyton, he hasn't made the playoffs yet. So if he's okay with being a backup, because he was a backup for the first couple years of his career, I would like for him to go to the Magic, because when you think about Peyton, he's a slasher. Not the Magic, I'm sorry. The Rockets. Sorry. The Rockets. Because if you think of Peyton, he's a slasher, right? And you surround him with all the shooters, Eric Gordon. I can't believe he's still on that.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about him.
Eric Gordon's on the Houston Rockets.
James Harden, Ryan Anderson. And so, I mean, that'd be nice. If he's okay taking a backup role, he'll...
When he's this young, though, I think he wants the opportunity to start.
Yeah, but also he probably wants his money, too. So, and money's going to be tight, especially with Chris
Paul. On the Houston Rockets, it will be.
Very tight. So, but I mean, if he wants winning over money, I'd like for him to go to the Rockets. So,
you wouldn't like him to come to New Orleans?
No, because, I mean, what's the one thing we need? Shooting.
The New Orleans Pelicans need shooting.
We need a new coach.
Okay, here we go. We're about to get into the Pelicans. Yeah. Let's finish the former Cajuns in the pros. Other Cajuns that are now in the pros are Jay Wright, former Cajuns point guard. He is now with the G League affiliate for the Orlando Magic. Hopefully he gets called up.
Yeah, he hasn't played much, so.
It's very unlikely.
Very. He's averaged like 1.3 minutes per game this last week, so.
That is unfortunate. Jay Wright plays for the Lakeland Magic G League affiliate for the Orlando Magic. Sean Long, former Cajuns forward. Sean Long plays for the G League affiliate for the Philadelphia 76ers, the Delaware 87ers.
Yay, there we go.
If you do not know, I'm completely butchered the name. A couple weeks ago, I just did not know. I did not practice. I did not rehearse the outline, and I did not know how to say the 87ers. How did I say it?
You said like the 87 years or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I know it was bad.
Practice makes
it
perfect.
It was bad. I am ashamed of it.
But we're not going to talk about that.
You live and you learn.
No,
we're not going to talk about it. Anyway, let's go to this team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And we have a lot of time to discuss the New Orleans Pelicans and the New Orleans Saints.
Because
I wanted to discuss these teams right here. Because the New Orleans Pelicans, they make me want to cry. Honestly, every time I see the logo, especially on Charlie's head right here.
He's
wearing a New Orleans Pelicans hat. I want to cry. One of our classmates.
Yeah, today.
He has a New Orleans Pelicans backpack.
Yeah.
You wore a Pelican shirt to English class yesterday.
I want to cry. Every time I looked in the mirror. No, it wasn't yet. It was after last night that I just wanted to cry.
Is your night ruined when they lose?
It is. And you know what's interesting?
When they lose to the worst team in the West.
You know what's interesting? Last week, you know how Facebook, they do the, like, years in memory or whatever?
Yeah.
This day in in your Facebook history. So, I sound really old. I don't know how to describe it. On this day, that's what it's called. On this day on Facebook, 7 years ago, last week, I put a status out. I said, when the Saints lose, it ruins my entire week. Like, the next week, I will be – it just ruins my entire week.
Me.
And now I'm coming to that point with the Pelicans that just when they – I don't know if when they lose, I'm just kind of like – I'm not sad. Like, I'm really sad.
Was that after they lost to the 49ers in the playoffs?
It might be. That was 7 years
ago. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Lou. That's why you said
that. That made me sad, too.
It made half of New Orleans sad.
Let's get back to New Orleans Pelicans because I'm just describing how sad I am about this team. Okay, it's not like they're bad.
No.
No.
They're, like I said, they're not great. They're not bad. They're meh. They're
Which
average.
Is the worst
ceiling,
thing to be in the
average.
NBA.
They're average.
Absolutely. Their ceiling, though, is...
The ceiling
going
is the
into
roof.
The season, their ceiling was, in my opinion, the 4 seed.
Yeah.
Their floor was out of the playoffs, and they're right in the middle.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing.
They're on a futon in the room.
Yeah.
That's where they are. They're on a futon.
Man.
And you know what futons are? I don't like futons.
Which is, like, they're an average team, which is sad when you have the two best big men playing on the same team in their prime. Not even in their prime. So it's just.
No, I mean, come on. There's talent on this team.
Drew.
And I saw something on Twitter that it said this is the most talent since the Chris Paul days.
Yeah, this is even Anthony said this is the most talent he's ever had on his team.
So, ever on his team.
Ever. Like,
I mean, we're still midway. There's a lot of season left to be played.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of season. And, I mean, I have a stat. So when we talk more about a certain team, then I'll
we're going to be talking about the okay, so the Pelicans.
Yeah.
They are at 500, which, you know, it would be like, why are you reacting this harsh to a 500 record? You know, the Pelicans, they've been out the playoffs for a few years. They're 20-20 on the season. I would say it's time to make a change. But hindsight is 20-20. Very nice.
That's why you write them, Lou.
That's why I write that line. Anyway, the Pelicans are still the 8th seed in the Western Conference, which means if the playoffs started today, they would get swept by the Golden State Warriors. That's exactly what would happen. So I think last week we predicted how this week would go.
Yeah.
I think we said there was a possibility of them going 1-2.
I said they would go 1-2.
Yeah.
Charlie said they would go 1-2.
Like, that was ideal.
And Charlie, like,
ideal was 2-1.
2-1, yeah, but logically.
Logically, it was 1-2.
1-2.
Yeah. Yep. The Pelicans went 1-2 over the past week with a 116-98 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road. That was on the road.
Did you see the uniforms? I think that's why they lost. The Timberwolves had, like, neon green, Skittle green.
I do not like any of the Timberwolves.
Those
I think the reason
uniforms.
We lost is because no one can guard Jimmy Butler.
Oh, that too, yeah.
And somehow Andrew Wiggins becomes a star when he plays in New Orleans Pelicans. We just do not know how to guard the wing players and anything on the outside.
Solomon Hill, your only hope.
Yeah, we're relying on Solomon Hill.
No, that's okay. So 116-98 loss to the Timberwolves on the road. Again, they had those neon green uniforms.
My eyes were hurting.
They had a win, a 112-109 win over the Pistons.
Yeah, because our best player stepped up when he had to.
That was at home.
Yeah,
AD dropped 30.
No. No, AD was, yeah, he dropped 30, but he exited the game, then Boogie took over. I mean, our best player stepped up when he had to.
Aaron, I know.
I'm going to say it until he leaves.
Then here's the loss that really does it for me.
Oh, man.
A 105-102 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies.
I was watching the
Where
game.
Are the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference?
Yeah, tell us, Charlie.
Well, they were at the bottom, and now they're tied right at the bottom.
Okay.
So, you know, congratulations on your 13th win, Memphis.
Yeah.
Mike Conley will be back soon enough. In the meanwhile, Tyreek Evans will just go off for 38 games.
The Pelicans lost 105-102 to the Memphis Grizzlies.
I watched that
game.
In the most frustrating game.
These are the games that we lose that makes me so mad at the effort, the lack of effort. We lost to this team and we lost to the Kings. These teams are the two worst teams in the West. We can't call ourselves a playoff contender if we're losing to these trash teams. I don't care if that's, you know, bad to call them trash, but they really aren't good, especially Memphis without Conley. But Tyreek Evans, what a bad joke. What a sick joke that Tyreek Evans would play us and go off for 28.
I knew that would happen.
It was a revenge game.
Ridiculous.
Tyreek Evans wasn't terrible with the
No,
ball.
I liked him too.
He just dribbled the ball a lot, which drove me nuts.
That's okay. I like Tyreek Evans.
I'll take him on the Pelicans.
Anyway, it was a
come
what,
home,
what
Tyreek.
Are your thoughts, Aaron, on the 1-2 week for the Pelicans?
I mean, it's just, again, they're blah. I wish they can just string together 5 or 10 wins in a row.
That will never happen.
It will probably happen because we're saying it's
I haven't
not
seen the Pelicans do that since Chris Paul, I think, like string 5 wins in a row.
You know who they did that with? Monty Williams. And you know when they did that
Monty.
With? It was without Anthony Davis. They
Monty
would go
come
on
home.
4 or 5 games. Because
what?
Streaks.
Anthony Davis is made out of glass, and he gets hurt if you sneeze on him.
I don't blame Anthony Davis. Well, actually, there are some
injuries.
Games.
Injuries happen.
Yeah,
injuries
but
happen.
And you can't blame a guy for getting injured.
No, I mean,
you can't blame Anthony Davis for being injured all the time. Yeah. That's just the way it is. It's about how the team performs when the player's out.
Yeah.
And when the Pelicans, now, mind you, against the Pistons, they had a good effort when Anthony Davis went out.
Yeah.
The overall, the Pelicans' effort without Anthony Davis is poor. It's poor effort. Even sometimes with Anthony Davis, it's poor effort.
Yeah,
I was watching one of the possessions. The Pelicans were on defense, and Boogie would just – got lost, and he got turned around and didn't let Reek had a wide open three, and then it's just effort sometimes. I mean, it's not just coaching. It's just
they don't play defense, and if you don't play defense in the NBA, you're not going to win.
Which is weird because last season we were top 10 in defense.
Aaron.
Yeah.
You talk about effort, and you're saying it's not the coach.
I mean, sometimes it's not coaching. I mean, some guys just don't want to play.
Aaron. I think it falls on the coach, though.
No, man.
It falls on the coach for the team's effort.
I'm Team Gentry for life. Well, until they fire him, but
which seems inevitable at this point. Did you see Twitter go off? I mean, Twitter was going off last night.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was saying something needs to happen, whether a trade, whether a coaching change, something needs to happen.
Hey, I'm going to ride with Gentry for life.
Like we said, the Grizzlies tied for last in the West.
Oh, man.
13-27 record. They're tied with the Lakers.
We've lost three games against the Mavericks, against the Grizzlies. Well, we've actually lost two games against the Grizzlies, so let me take that into account real quick.
There you go. We have Charlie, our researcher.
Head
of the research department.
We have four losses against a combined 57 and 109 teams. So we're losing against teams that are not good.
Yes.
And that's because
why is that happening?
It's lack of effort. You go into a game and you expect to win because this team's not good. But you can't just, like, go out there and say, we're going to win. You have to go out and play and win. You know? They're not playing to win these games. They're just going out and playing and expecting to win without playing tough or playing hard. I still think it's on the coaching. I think if you don't get your players ready to win those types of games, those are the types of games you need to win. Those are, like, the cupcakes on the schedule,
yeah.
Right? But we're losing those games.
I was,
and that's why this team's 500.
I was on Twitter, and Scott Kushner, who writes for the Pelicans for the New Orleans Advocate, someone tweeted at him that the team just doesn't look like they're having fun, which it's not great. I mean, you want to have fun when you're playing basketball. And
the winning teams look like they have fun.
Well, yeah, when you're winning, it makes everything fun. So
it's just something needs to happen with the New Orleans Pelicans.
I don't know. Maybe we should trade AD.
Something's going to happen. You know, the Clippers are starting to get on the Pelicans' tail a little bit.
Yes.
They're a game back.
I know.
In the Western Conference.
And they just beat the Warriors. Granted, without Curry and Thompson.
Yeah.
But they still beat the Warriors.
This is the first win. The Clippers' first win against the Warriors in like a couple years.
Lou Williams dropped 50.
Lou Williams scored 50 points.
I would love to have him with the Pelicans.
That dude can go off.
Give to my Lou.
Definitely. Okay, Aaron. So are you worried about the Clippers sneaking up and potentially grabbing this playoff
absolutely.
Spot?
Because, like, I mean, at the end of the day, Doc Rivers is still a decent coach. I mean, it's Blake Griffin, DeAndre, if they don't trade him, and, like, a slew of players. Like, Lou Williams dropping 50. Like, I mean, it's kind of worrisome. But, like, okay, so the Pelicans are only one game ahead. But they're also 1.5 games out of the fifth seed, which is
crazy
to think about. So,
but who's streaking? Who's playing well?
The Clippers, I mean. But, I mean, this is crazy to think that the Pelicans still have a chance at the fifth seed. So,
Clippers are shopping DeAndre Jordan, though.
That's the thing.
That's right. They might not want to be the eighth seed.
And then Blake Griffin's always hurt. So,
and I don't understand why we want to be the eighth seed. I feel like the best seed for us in these playoffs would probably be the sixth seed.
Yeah, that's you have a shot.
You have a shot against the Spurs. You don't have a shot against the Rockets or the Warriors.
But what Aaron said, they're only a game and a half or so out of the fifth seed.
You might be able to win one
but
game against Houston, but you're not going
to
win.
To get to that sixth seed, you got to win these types of games against the Grizzlies and the Kings and, you know, the Hawks and all these teams that are at the bottom of the standings. You can't just give up those wins.
Say they're still 500 by the trade deadline. Do you think they trade Boogie? Because they're adamant that they're not going to trade him. They're going to try to sign him.
They're not trading Boogie.
I don't think he's...
They're not going to trade DeMarcus.
Do I want them to? If we're out of the playoffs at the deadline, I think it would probably be the right move. Do I think they're going to? Probably not.
Like the playoffs are pretty much set, barring a catastrophic injury from the Pelicans. I mean, but it's just where they're going to end up in this
playoffs
season.
Are not set. I'm not convinced.
Really?
I feel like the Clippers could sneak up.
And then the Mavericks might make a run.
Because, you know what? The Clippers might get a good deal for DeAndre Jordan. Because a lot these playoff teams are really looking for a center to compete in the NBA playoffs with.
Cleveland.
So, yeah, I would love for him to go to Cleveland.
I mean, the Clippers, they wouldn't be much worse off if they traded DeAndre Jordan for a Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, because what does DeAndre – I mean –
You got to throw more than that in.
I know, but I'm just saying for at least a Tristan Thompson, they'll get more players and picks.
Probably the Nets pick.
No, they're not going to. I don't think Cleveland's.
Unless, I don't think DeAndre Jordan's worth a Nets pick, but that's okay.
No.
I'm just saying, okay, let's discuss. I mean, what needs to happen for this with this Pelicans team?
Effort. I mean, just go out and
act. I don't think anything needs to change. It's just the effort that needs to change.
I'm not going to say to fire the coach, okay? Because who's going to be their coach if he's going? Dan Erman?
Bring back Monty.
I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie, what do you think needs to happen, Charlie?
As I've been saying, pretty much half the season, I really think we need to make a change at the coaching position. This team just doesn't play with enough effort, and I think that's on the coaches. Who to bring in? There's plenty of options. I don't know.
I think they ride the season out with Gentry, though.
Probably. Yeah.
I think they ride the season
out
with Gentry.
If they don't make the playoffs, though, I think he's gone.
Big changes are coming, yeah.
The Pelicans' next four games are at home against the Trailblazers, on the road against the Knicks, on the road against the Celtics, and on the road in Atlanta against the Hawks. Aaron, predict these next four games. Not necessarily score.
I mean, ideally, 2-2. I mean, Trailblazers and Celtics, I'm going to pretty much give those L's because those are two playoff-quality teams. The Knicks and the Hawks. I mean, we should win those games, but history has shown that the games we're supposed to win, we're going to lose. So, but I'm going to say 2-2 would be, I mean, 500.
2-2 on the week.
Mediocre.
That is the New Orleans Pelicans.
The
New Orleans 500.
Yeah.
So, Charlie, how are these next four games going
to
go?
We've already lost the Knicks.
Yeah, we did.
At home.
Yeah.
And the Knicks are a better team when they're at home. So, there's that. We had actually a really tight game against the Hawks this year. So, I wouldn't chalk that up to a win just yet. Trailblazers at home is a must-win if we want to start to creep up closer to the sixth seed.
Yeah, who's also, like, in the same.
You know what's funny, Charlie? It feels like Charlie's leaning more towards an 0-4 record.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sounds it sounds like he's leaning towards an 0-4.
The Celtics on the road, I mean, you could pretty much chalk that up to a loss depending on if AD's playing or not.
Yeah.
It really all depends if we get our stud back.
It's going
to
be
if Davis plays these four games, we'll have a shot at going, you know, 2-2, even 3-1.
Yeah.
If we can pick up a win against the Trailblazers, I'm going to go ahead and chalk up the Celtics game to a loss.
That Celtics game on the road is going to be really interesting. I mean,
Watch us go 1-3 and only win against the Celtics.
Of course, right?
I could see it.
Honestly. I could see anything happening except for 4-0.
This team's just strange.
It is.
And watch they go 4-0.
I'll go 2-2, Charlie.
Yeah. I mean, again, 500. That's a 500.
500 Pelicans. New Orleans. Let's go to more positive things, like the New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
Another New Orleans team. The Saints won against the Carolina Panthers in the wildcard round. The New Orleans Saints are going on to the divisional round to play the Minnesota Vikings on the road. Again, the Saints beat the Carolina Panthers 31-26, and that marked their third time beating the Panthers this season, which goes to show, I guess it isn't impossible to beat a team for
the Panthers,
three times in a season.
The Panthers do have a new owner now, so.
Yeah, the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah. Shout out to
Charlie, I feel like you have something to say about that.
Yeah, I was at the game. It was awesome. It was a great atmosphere. Shout out to my dad's boss, Mr. Sid Deegan, for getting us tickets. It was a lot of fun. That last sack at the end of the game is probably the loudest I've heard the dome in years.
My goodness.
It was ridiculous.
In years, yeah. I mean, and you were at the Garrett Hartley.
I was.
So
I was like 9, though.
The Saints, they beat the Panthers for the third time this season. What's your reaction, Aaron, to that game against the Panthers?
I was impressed. I was coming in, I wasn't sure about the offense, but Drew Brees, my goodness. Can we talk about –
he made some throws, man.
He was the ageless wonder. He threw for 376 yards with two TDs. He looked like as sharp as he's ever looked. I was very impressed with Brees.
Yeah,
but looking the run game is what really concerned me because they only had 44 yards between Alvin and Mark, so that kind of worried me. But I mean, we got the stop at the end, which was most important because I was so nervous. I was like, don't let Cam.
My heart was beating fast.
I was like, don't let Cam score again. I can't, man.
And that pass he threw
it was
in the end zone to Funchess was close. It was a great pass.
It was
Von Bell was on him, I think, too. And Von Bell's not a good coverage safety.
No. And that pass almost landed right there.
Marshawn got beat bad.
Cam Newton had a great game.
He was
against the Panthers. Yeah. Like it or not, Cam Newton had a great game.
It's just a shame he doesn't have like an adequate receiver. I mean, they had one, but they traded it.
Well, Greg Olsen's a beast.
I mean, yeah, but
Greg Olsen, do not take away his game. He is a monster.
Yeah.
Every time they needed a first down, I saw that they were throwing to Olsen, or at least looking at him.
It was funny because I think on a Panthers drive, he threw it to his receiver. He dropped it,
yes.
And that stopped the drive.
Yeah, number 12.
And it was funny because I think Drew Brees came right back and threw a bomb to Ted Ginn, and it was a touchdown.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure
Cam Newton's got to be over there thinking like, oh, my.
And he had Ted Ginn for a time.
I think I saw something that Ted Ginn had a drop like a catch percentage of like 45% in Carolina, but he's got one at like 75%.
I saw that too
in New Orleans. That's crazy.
That's a Drew Brees effect.
He was so known for dropping passes, like that pass that he caught for the 80-yard touchdown. But Brees is a Hall of Famer.
That's what he puts it. Brees made some throws.
So what's your reaction to that game against the Panthers?
Just a classic game by Brees. I think it was his seventh game in the playoffs at 300 yards, which I think he passed Montana and Kurt Warner. So that's crazy.
When
huh?
you do that, I mean,
yeah, that is crazy. I mean, Ingram and Kamara didn't do much.
I know.
They didn't see a lot of carries. I mean, the first half was mostly passing.
Yeah.
But then again, this Panthers' like strength is their front seven. Like, let's not like
the
dance
Panthers
around
have
that.
great.
They got
defense.
Great linebackers.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly is.
Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thompson, and Thomas Davis are all studs. Yeah. But their front four is also really good as well.
Brees, that one throw to Thomas, it was that back.
Oh, where, yeah, back shoulder
that
fade.
That back shoulder fade. That was really
Thomas,
yeah. really
my goodness.
Nice.
He's
and
so good.
Josh Hill also caught a pass right before that. That was a great throw as well.
Oh yeah,
he fit it right over the defender.
He had
it
perfect. Man. I mean,
Drew Brees had himself.
Brees is
a
such
game,
a stud. Man. He's still a beast.
That was a in case you forgot who I am.
Yeah,
because
it's been a while since he's played in primetime playoff games,
like a real significant game.
Shout out to Mike Thomas.
Mike.
Oh. Mike Thomas.
Can't guard Mike.
First game. First playoff game. 130 yards.
He puts up historic numbers
does,
that no
man.
One talks about.
That's what he does.
He's a beast.
He's
absolute
had the
beast.
Most receptions in the first two seasons than anybody else in NFL.
I saw Urban Meyer tweet about it, and Michael Thomas liked it. He was just like, made it Ohio State. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Thomas puts up historic numbers that no one talks about. He's among Odell.
Yeah. And Mike, he calls Drew the GOAT, which, I mean, he's not lying.
I mean, and it helps having Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees just had in case you forgot who I am game, this is it right here. And I can make incredible passes. I had the most accurate season in NFL history.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to show you what I'm about because he hasn't played a real significant game in a long time.
No.
And he had to show right there. I mean, because the Panthers are a great defense.
Yeah.
They're a good defense, and I just want to talk about the Saints defense as well, because they held them to how many field goals in that game?
Four.
They held them to four.
We kept trading seven
game.
For three.
Yeah,
at
I was
the
like,
start of the game.
I was thinking math.
And those field goals were short. They were inside the red zone.
Yeah.
So I mean,
bend don't break.
The bend don't break defense. Was impressive.
But then Gano also hit like a 59-yarder.
Yeah, I saw that of course,
at the end of the half.
Charlie, I was listening to last week's show, and I believe you said it'll come down to like a field goal might make the difference in this game. And
it really did.
It was an unexpected field goal missed by Gano.
Yeah.
It was the 25-yarder that Gano missed, and that made all the difference because
they would have made that. All they would have had to do was kick the field goal to win the game. At that last drive.
Exactly.
So they had to try and score a touchdown.
Exactly. And that Gano miss was everything.
Hey, because like, I saw they got a stop on third down, so I just went out of my room and I figured, oh, they must have went for it on fourth down. And I'm like, no, he missed the field goal.
He missed it.
I'm like, dang.
Wide right. So
the dome erupted when he missed that too.
I thought
he made it at first, but then like the people that were right behind it started freaking out, and then everyone started freaking out. It was pretty funny.
It was unexpected. I did not expect. And then, of course, he comes back and hits a 50-plus yarder later.
Yeah, almost a 60-yarder.
Almost.
It was
58, right?
Did you guys think about the intentional grounding at the end with Cam?
That was an intentional grounding.
Yeah.
It was a right call.
I thought
it was a right call. So our predictions for that game, we had the Saints winning. Aaron predicted 27-14. Charlie predicted 30-21. I had 28-20. And the closest one was Charlie. Ooh. Congratulations, Charlie.
Thank you.
So the Saints will play at Minnesota. New Orleans has lost three straight away games since their Week 10 road win against the Bills, and that was a win.
Yeah.
The Vikings, they finished 13-3 this season. They beat the Saints in Minnesota 29-19, but that felt like a few years ago because these are completely different teams now.
Totally different.
So Minnesota, they have the best defense.
Yeah.
They are first in opponents' points per game, holding opponents to 15.9 points per game. They are first in fewest yards allowed, 275.9 yards per game. Only allow 83.6 rushing yards per game. So what are the keys for the Saints in this game, Charlie?
So I saw something pretty interesting. The Vikings, the 19 points that we scored on the Vikings in week one was the most points they gave up at home all season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Their defense is legit. They got good pass rushers. They got good interior defensive linemen that can stop the run. They got good linebackers. They got a shutdown corner, and they have a Pro Bowl safety. There's not a weakness on this defense.
Yeah.
The weakness on this team, though, is their offense. Right. They got great receivers, but they still have a career backup as their starting quarterback.
I was about to say, do you believe in Case Keenum?
I do not believe in Case Keenum. I think he's going to fold. And I think that's the opportunity that the Saints have in this game. But the Saints' defense, I can't believe we're going to be relying on this defense to win this game. If the defense can hold the Vikings to under 20 points in this game, I think we can win it.
Okay.
I'm just going to be straight up. I think that we can win this game.
All right. Well, we're going to save the score prediction for later. Aaron, what are the keys for the Saints in this game?
Yeah, like Charlie was saying, the defense, if we can just hold them under 20 points, because, I mean, we're going to get ours, so, but I can't give them a prediction yet, so.
We'll save the score prediction.
Yeah.
Let's do, like we did for the wild card round, let's do the divisional round predictions for all the games. So let's start
with... You want scores, too?
Well, I want scores, because I'm gonna come back, and then we're going to evaluate how we did. So the Falcons, they will play against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. Aaron, you started off. Yeah. What do you have for this game?
Okay, so I can't believe I'm going to say this. Have the Falcons winning. I mean, Nick Foles.
You don't believe in Nick Foles?
No. So I have 24-13 Atlanta. I can't believe I'm saying that.
24-13 Atlanta?
Yeah. I think Matt Ryan and Julio have a day.
Charlie?
They're going to have to because the Eagles have the best rushing defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, I think. And I think that they'll be able – the Eagles' strength is kind of similar to Carolina, is their front seven, their run-stopping, but their secondary is not really good.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Foles, you know, he has playoff experience at least. Case Keenum doesn't. Nick Foles has played at least one playoff game, and he's thrown seven touchdowns in a game. I think people forget that.
He had a great season.
A couple seasons ago.
Yeah,
he had a
2013 great season. In 2013,
he threw for 22 TDs.
But 2013 was 5 years ago.
He threw for 22 TDs this year with over 3,500 yards. So
home field is going to be tough. I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people are thinking. Yeah. I think a lot of people are saying like the Falcons are just going to walk in there, stroll in there, and just beat them down.
What do you have? What do you have for the score?
Yeah, it's really
because the Falcons are really hot.
Falcons are hot.
They're playing well.
They looked really good against the Rams.
Yeah, but, I mean, Goff really kind of folded, in my opinion. It was his first game. I think that's what's going to happen to Keenum, honestly.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, the two quarterbacks, well, one of the quarterbacks with the most playoff experience is going to win the game. So I'll go the Matty Ice and the Falcons, I guess. And I'll give a prediction. I think it's going to be actually a low-scoring game, especially in Philly in the winter. That crowd's going to be rocking. I think it's probably going to be something like, I'll say 20 to 16.
20 to 16 Falcons?
16 Falcons.
You know, the wild card round was almost, we couldn't predict what would happen.
That's why it's called the wild card round.
The Titans, I mean, they won.
Yeah, the Titans was the one that no one really guessed. I mean, we all kind of
the Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game in forever.
We noted that the Falcons could pull
We noted
it off.
That the Falcons could beat the Rams.
Yeah. I'll go Eagles in this game.
Okay.
Fly.
I'm going to say the Eagles are
going to
win
this
game.
I wanted to pick the Eagles only because I love Rocky, but
I don't know why. I just need to go against the grain right here. Yeah, I just need to pick the Eagles because I can see the Eagles winning this game.
Yeah.
I think I like the low scoring of this game.
Yeah.
I think 17-10.
Okay.
17-10. Eagles win. Let's go to the – do we even have to predict? All right. Maybe we should because we didn't know. We didn't know last week. Titans at the Patriots, Charlie.
Marcus Mariota and Derrick Henry are going to show up now. No,
how many touchdown passes is Mariota going to catch in this game?
Two. Over under two. I think the Titans are probably going to start slow again, kind of like what they did with the Chiefs. They may make a run at it, but at the end of the day, they're going up against Tom Brady in Foxborough. I think the Patriots will probably take this one pretty handily.
What do you think?
I think because the strength of the Titans is their front seven. It's their front four, honestly. They're run blocking. They're run stopping. On the defensive side, I think Brady's probably going to shred them. I think Gronk's going to have a big day. I think the Patriots are probably going to score, I'll say, 34. I'll say the Titans will get 20.
Wow, 34-20. Okay. Aaron, what do you have?
Patriots. I mean, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. That's all you need to know.
So what's the score?
I predict a blowout. So 33-6, I mean.
33-6?
I don't have much faith.
I mean, I don't have much faith. The Titans are
Marcus catches a couple of touchdown passes.
Derrick Henry's a stud. I don't think people give him enough credit.
Alabama.
He only gets better as the game goes on.
Exactly. Yeah.
He's the one that you just need to give him more touches. Let's say, I mean, the Patriots, I think they win. I don't think there's going to be any surprise in this game. I think the Titans score 13.
Okay.
I think the Patriots, they score 31.
Yeah.
31-13, Patriots. Let's go to the Jaguars at the Steelers. And the Jaguars probably played they did play the ugliest game of the weekend, and definitely not a pretty game against the Bills.
I tweeted, I'm like, please don't let have overtime because we don't deserve this.
So the Jaguars will play the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is interesting. This is an interesting game. Big Ben's going to have something to prove in this game. When he threw 5 interceptions earlier this season against the Jaguars. Charlie, what do you have?
This is interesting. I kind of want to pick the Jaguars in this game because of how solid their defense is. It's strength against strength with Pittsburgh's offense and the Jaguars' defense. At the end of the day, though, I just can't pick them because I don't trust Blake Bortles and their offense at all.
I don't trust
that. The Steelers' defense isn't great without their leader, Ryan Shazier, but I still think they're good enough to stop their rushing attack, and it just shut them down. It's going to really come down to if the Jags can keep the Steelers under 17, then they have a great shot at it. I don't think they can. I think the final score is probably – I think it's also a low-scoring game here. I think it's probably going to be something like 22 – or I'll say 24 to 10.
24-10?
24-10, yeah. Steelers.
Okay. Aaron?
Can we agree that Blake Bortles is like the worst starting QB in NBA, in NFL history? He looked so bad.
Yeah.
I'd have to look into that. But, you have the Steelers winning.
With that being said,
okay,
I have the Jaguars winning. It's going to be the ugliest game probably ever.
All right, score?
9-6.
Wow.
Game winning.
I can see it.
I think the Steelers win.
I mean, we'll see.
I think the Steelers win. Let's go to the Saints at Vikings. We only have a couple minutes. Saints at Vikings. How will this game go, Aaron?
The Vikings are the better team. They have the better defense. They have the better record. So I'm going to say 23-20. I mean, the Saints make a run at the end, and they just fall short.
Okay.
They'll prove themselves, and they'll make us proud, but at the end, the Vikings are the better team.
Charlie?
I'm going the other way.
Oh.
I'm going the Saints. I think that they are a team of destiny this year. I think that they can beat this Vikings team. If they can ruin the Vikings' chances for a home Super Bowl in the divisional round, I think that'd be amazing. I think that the defense will have to show up. As I was saying, if they keep them to under 17, I think we'll have a great opportunity to win.
So what's the score?
I'll go 21-17 with a final possession stop.
Okay.
I firmly believe whoever wins this game is going to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think the Saints win.
Okay.
It's going to be close. I like the NFC Championship more as the Saints at the Eagles rather than the Vikings at the Eagles.
Yeah.
So I like that matchup more. So
what's your score?
The Saints, I think they win 20-24, Vikings 20. That is my score, and that will do it for myself, Aaron, and Charlie this week. Me and Charlie have the Saints winning. Aaron does not.
It's going to be close.
We'll make a note of that. We'll
I'm
see
hoping
how it
for
is.
The worst. You know what I mean.
All right. Thank you for talking sports with me, as always, guys. If you missed any part of the show, you can listen to it online at krvs.org. You can hear us talk sports every Thursday at midnight, technically Friday. Programming on KRVS comes to you each week through the generous support of listeners like you and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Thank you for listening.